Bow your heads in prayer with me, please. Gracious and holy God, we just praise you and thank you as we enter into this season of time when we truly focus on the birth of Jesus Christ and all the events that surround it. May it not just be a story that we tell year after year, but may it be a story that year after year changes us. In the name of Jesus, amen. The scripture that was portrayed in this drama is from the book of John, and there was one line in particular in that I want to share with you that I will be speaking to today. And in that, John the Baptist said, "Among you stands one whom you do not know." In other words, something was going to happen that was very unexpected. So John the Baptist certainly knew that he was not the Messiah, and he told the Jews that he was not the Messiah. And he did quickly also say that the one who is the Messiah is going to be a very unexpected gift. Jewish people had always lived with anticipation of a Messiah coming because that's what the prophets had always told them. But the Messiah that they expected, the one that was according to their expectations, was very different than the actual one who came. So the words, "Among you stands one whom you do not know." So it's a warning. He's not going to be who you think. In Jesus' time, they thought they understood that the goal of God's was to have reign over the entire world, and that one day there would be no other gods that would be worshipped. He would extend his reign all over the earth, and that there would be a king that would be established and reign over it. The question was, how would God's king establish his kingdom? And again, the Jewish people had this understanding, this expectation that this king would come and would wage a war against all Gentiles and against all sinning Jews. They believed that for many reasons, but one was they expected and were told that the Messiah would be of the lineage of David. And they knew that David, in his lifetime, had expanded his reign throughout with war, so wouldn't the messianic son of David do the same? So they expected rebellion and that kind of leadership out of Jesus. They expected that Jesus would be a warrior and that he would come to judge the people. John the Baptist spoke that way. He told them that Christ was coming in wrath to chop down every tree that didn't bear fruit and burn up evildoers like chaff in unquenchable fire. The Jews had listened to the prophets, and the prophets spoke regularly about who this Messiah would be. If we look alone at the prophet Isaiah and what he had to say several times about who this Messiah would be, he said, "Once he is king, leaders of other nations will look to him for guidance. The whole world will worship the one God of Israel. Evil and tyranny will not be able to stand before his leadership. Knowledge of God will fill the world. Death will be swallowed up forever. He will be a messenger of peace." And the persons, when they heard this, they had this very much of a visual of a warrior Messiah coming into the world. But John the Baptist said, "Among you stands one who you do not know." I was thinking about, as I'm sure many of us are this time of year, Christmas gifts. And I was thinking that maybe we could categorize Christmas gifts into three different categories. And the first category would be those gifts that are unexpected. And I know every year I hear that there's an unexpected engagement ring that comes to someone during this season. I also know that any time that I have a present for someone that they didn't ask for, but I was so certain it was just for them, I always hope that unexpected gift is as exciting as I had intended and hoped it would be. My extended family, when we were in our 20s or 30s, before we had kids, we always did an adult exchange, and we said that our limit was $50 for the gift. There was one year that my stepdad drew someone's name, and he had the gift wheeled out during our time of opening packages, and that person received a 40-some-inch flat-screen television. That wasn't expected. And I also can say that when it came time for the drawing the next year, there was maybe a little bit of cheating going on in there. Unexpected gifts can sometimes be very pleasant, but sometimes they're not so pleasant. Okay, so the second category of gifts I think about are gifts that we hope or that we want. Surely you've been a person that's watched under the Christmas tree at one time because maybe you've asked for a special item and you think, oh, is that package that's wrapped that way, is that gift what I'm hoping for? You know, maybe you would this Christmas you expect a pair of UGG boots or something, so you're looking for that package that's just that right size. I can remember as a preteen looking under, actually coming out on Christmas morning and seeing an unusually wrapped gift, and I just knew it was going to be what I hoped for, and it was. It was a plastic stereo. It was a stereo surrounded by a plastic case, and I was so excited because now I could buy my own records, and I could also play it as loud as I wanted when no one was home. And I didn't have to always listen to my parents' genre of music. It was nice to receive what I wanted. And the third category is, finally, have you ever received a gift from someone, something that someone thought you needed? And I think sometimes, maybe very often, this is a mom kind of gift. So, for example, have you ever received socks and underwear? Someone thought you needed that, and some presents are like that. You may need them, but you don't get necessarily very excited about them. Well, if we rewind back to that very first Christmas, it was a lot like that. When Jesus came, he was the present. He was the gift that the world desperately needed, but largely it went unnoticed. No one seemed to get very excited about him. And the Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So here is this incredible gift that God is giving to the world of his love for us. But when Jesus was born, much of the world did not even notice. So why was that? And I think a lot of that is because he was not what we expected, nor the way that he came to us was necessarily a way that we would have expected. Therefore, John the Baptist said, "Among you stands one whom you do not know." What about the unexpected parts of the story? I mean, really, why Mary and Joseph? They weren't just poor. They were so poor that they couldn't even buy, according to the Levitical code, they couldn't even buy the lamb that was supposed to be sacrificed because of Jesus' birth. All that they could afford were two doves. That was the very best they could do. That wasn't necessarily what we would have expected to have happened. Then, of course, there was that Christmas journey, and I don't care how you romanticize that journey, I don't think any of it would have been pleasant nor a pretty picture for Mary to have been walking or riding a donkey when she's 9 months pregnant. Sorry, don't think so. But perhaps the most unexpected part is the fact that this baby was wrapped in rags. That is what she did. She placed him in a manger, the creator of the universe. In the beginning was the Word, and she placed him in a feeding trough. Is there a reason behind that? And that's why I'd like to finish up my message today with three reasons why I believe that God expected much of this story to be unexpected for us. Because I believe that he expected then it would help us in our lives. So the first reason is, first, we expect the Christmas story to be comfortable and trouble-free, don't we? After all, it's the Son of God. I mean, if you were Mary and an angel had just visited you and said, oh, you're going to have this very special baby, wouldn't you expect or assume that there, along with it, would come some privileges? Wouldn't you expect that maybe that labor could perhaps be pain-free, or at the very least that there would be some kind of supernatural epidural that would make it a very tolerable and painless moment for her? But here's the thing. God wanted to identify with us through our struggles. And this is an unexpected gift of Christmas. You would expect a story where Jesus would have been born into some wealthy family and everything would have been smooth and easy, But instead, he was born into a poor family because Jesus, God wanted to understand the struggles that we have here on earthly lives. God in Jesus was fully God and fully human because he wanted to feel what life is like for us. So, are you struggling financially? Well, Jesus knows that, knows what that feels like. He grew up poor. He grew up with a place, nowhere to lay his head. So honestly, Jesus was homeless. Maybe you have some family relationships that are pretty strained right now, and maybe you're not even looking forward necessarily to the holidays. But Jesus knows that. Because his brothers were not so convinced that he was who he claimed to be. Or maybe you've had some friends or family that have let you down. And Jesus knows that too. Because a friend betrayed him with a kiss. And his friends deserted him in his very greatest time of need. Jesus knows maybe you're facing some sense of injustice. Maybe feeling like you're being treated in completely unfair ways. Maybe you were abused. But so was Jesus. He was innocent. And he never sinned. He was tried for crimes that he didn't commit, and he was nailed to a tree. And he came into this world the way he did because he wants to say to you, I know what you're feeling. Maybe you've lost a loved one this season, or maybe recently, or maybe you've had an accumulation of losses in your life. Jesus knows. He wanted to feel that, and he did, because his dearly loved cousin, John the Baptist, was beheaded. So we need to understand that Jesus went through all these struggles in his life in such a way that he can identify with us. And this is what we have in Jesus. Second point, I think that when we talk about the birth of Jesus, maybe in some ways we think that should have been a major extravaganza, right? I mean, way above, way more important than all the royal weddings that we've paid so much attention to, right? We expect it to be a royal extravaganza, but God wanted to set an example of humility for us to follow, beginning even at his time of birth. The surprising part of it is not that the angels announced the birth of Christ, but it was who they announced it to. They announced it to lowly shepherds. And the surprising part is not the miraculous virgin. You would expect some sort of miracle to have surround that. The surprising part is that they chose a poor, unknown, uneducated, unconnected Mother Mary for this time. So Jesus doesn't tell us how to live. He doesn't tell us to be humble. He came to the earth. He came down from his throne and lives with us. And finally, third in the story, we expect the Christmas story to be a demonstration of his supremacy, but God wanted to make a statement of his incredible love for us. He was born to a poor family, and he was resting in a feeding trough. And that sacrifice is a statement of his love for you. There is a sense that the greater the sacrifice, the more clearly that we understand that there is love involved. Maybe you've seen, or maybe you've been one who made big sacrifices. I know of a mother that takes third shifts so she can support her four children. I know of a husband who works extra hours so that his wife can be at home with the kids. I know of an adult child who gave up a promising career, took a break from the career so that this person could come home and take care of their aging and dying parent. Grandparents move away from a very comfortable life, and they come so they can take care of a special need child. So here's a suggestion that I'd like to make to strengthen your faith this next week. And so as you get out your nativity scenes, just stop and think. Think of the parts that are in that scene. Would you just see the stable? See it as the size of a tiny shed? Would you hear the noises of the animals so out of place? Would you smell the aroma of that barn? Picture the manger. It's not an ornament. It's a feeding trough. And would you see the Son of God laying in that manger? And would you say to yourself, he did this for me? Would you allow the unexpected parts of the Christmas story to make it clear in your own heart, in your own life, this Christmas, that God knows what you're going through, that God has called you to live a life of sacrificial service, and that God loves you very much. There's something you need to know today. Don't be caught by these words. Among you stands one whom you do not know. The season and this time in life, know him. Don't just know about him or know of him. Know him. This was a totally unexpected birth and process for birth. And the purpose of Jesus for us was a sacrifice that would extend to salvation. What is salvation? For us, salvation is being saved ultimately from death. Salvation is the promise that we have for life eternal. With the two friends of ours, Mindy and Val, who we've shared passed away this last week, one thing that we can know is that they knew this story, and they knew that Jesus made the sacrifice for their salvation so that now they know life eternal. That's what God would desire for each and every one of us. So as we move to the communion table this day, I want us to move thinking about all that was unexpected. I mean, even this moment, even this meal was unexpected. It's a gift for each and every